everybody, and welcome to Game Changers on 101.5 UMFM.
Radio.
And online.
And internet.
That's the online.
Aww.
Yeah, we are a show about video games.
Thank God, yes.
We like them.
Yeah.
That's it, that's the show.
The end.
Yeah, so it's video game time, and I'm still playing Bloodborne, and I am determined to beat Bloodborne.
Yeah.
But I need to cut back, because now I'm having dreams about Bloodborne, Alice.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. Bloodborne's about dreams.
It's about dreams, but it's not supposed to come into my dreams. Oh, it's like... It's like Tetris. Having Tetris dreams. You play for too long, and then you go directly to bed, and then you get haunted by moving blocks.
By the L block. It's coming down, Megan. Where will you put it?
And I'm going to point out, this is actually a legit phenomenon.
I know. I don't play Tetris, so I don't. Like, I can't play those games very well, so I don't.
It's a thing that happens where you just get into a mode, and then people fall asleep and have dreams about moving blocks and solving puzzles. And
yeah, no, I get it.
It was like that with Bejeweled as well.
Oh, God. I mean, it's interesting to think about, like, what kind of dreams people have about Tetris. Is it that horrible of a dream to have a Tetris dream?
No, but it just gets repetitive after a while.
You're like, I'm bored having these Tetris dreams.
And then you start panicking because you got too many blocks, and it's...
Wow.
It's interesting.
That's a sad... I would just... You know what the cure? Don't play Tetris. There we go. I've never had a Tetris dream and never will.
I don't want to say you're missing out.
Yeah!
So, yeah, that is Bloodborne, guys.
And Tetris dreams?
Tetris dreams and Bloodborne dreams. And I took a break today to play some Elden Ring. I don't want to have Elden Ring dreams.
Why not?
It'll be just the same.
As Bloodborne?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess I should probably play a different game.
Yeah, I guess so.
Which I did yesterday for a while.
Yeah, you played a smooch of it, a little bit of it.
I'm going to give it more. It's just... I don't think I'm very good at the tabletop idea, the chance rolling idea.
Okay, why? So,
I mean,
it's a 50-50 chance. I don't know if you can be bad at that.
It's not. Okay, so the game I'm talking about.
Yeah, it was like...
Let's get into this. I'm talking about Disco Elysium, which I had purchased a couple weeks back. We had both been looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a role-playing video game designed to be sort of like a tabletop role-playing game.
Yeah.
Where you roll dice to get successes or failures on different aspects of the story.
Yeah, I was like, I've heard of this or I've known about it. I guess since it came out, it's just a matter of, like, I was concerned that it wouldn't be my type of gameplay. I don't know how much of it is, to be honest. Like...
It is a point and click, which I know you are a fan of.
I love point and click games.
But with the added aspect of chance rolls depending on stats.
Yeah, so. How do you build up your stats in this game?
So you do gain experience as you investigate.
Okay, because you are a detective.
You are a detective who is...
What's your name? You don't even know.
I believe it's Harry. Okay. But you don't know. You wake up not knowing who you are.
Okay. That's one of the mysteries.
That's one of the mysteries. You wake up, and this is an adult game. I'm going to point out this is not for kids to play.
Yeah, there's a lot of vomit.
There's a lot of, cursing and a lot of adult themes and...
But this is a cyberpunk, you would say?
An alternate history, because it's not even cyberpunk. This is more of a... This takes place in a city called Revachol.
It's like France, isn't it?
Kind of France, but if something changed in history, that it's not quite like our world.
Okay.
There's alternate history. They have alternate names for different countries and nationalities.
Okay.
It's... Yeah, not straight up France. but it is definitely based on a European setting.
Okay.
So you wake up, your first task is to find all your clothes because you woke up in rough shape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You look bad.
Your character is not a pretty looking person.
I kind of appreciate that. He's a balding,
middle-aged man. Over the hill.
Yeah, like he has the alcoholic redness in his face, right? Like he's very red, got a nice shiny red nose.
You can tell that he is not treating himself the way he should be treating himself.
Another reason why I know that is because you've died of morale loss several times.
Okay,
like
so yes.
If you could die that easily, and also it's like children did it to you. Children made you feel bad enough to just die.
Yeah, so you have two things going on here. You have your physical health and you've got your mental health. And either one of those can suffer. I got the first ding on all two of my HP by turning on a light because I had a headache.
Oh. I kind of like those kind of things. Like, would you say that this game is quite a bit of trial and error and it would be, like, that's the replayability aspect?
I would say so because I know there are multiple ends and multiple outcomes to your choices.
Mm-hmm.
And you can start off with three pre-made versions of Harry, or you can set your own stats. So this is where you get the tabletop aspect.
Mm-hmm.
So you get your strength, you got your perception, you've got your people skills.
There's not that many stats in this, are there?
You got like four main stats, and then you can up those by leveling up different aspects of those stats.
Oh,
almost
okay.
Like Dungeons and Dragons, but
no,
simplified.
Yeah, no, I was like, because I would say tabletop can be very difficult and like number heavy and paper heavy or right hand, so it's nice that they've simplified the stats, right? It could be like 20 different stats for this guy, right?
Right.
But it's not, which is good.
Yes, yeah, so you can pretty much customize however you want this to go, and it actually encourages you to spread out your stats as you go along because you do need a little bit of everything to get to some of the better outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
So you can be a drama heavy person, but if you don't have empathy, then you're not going to get anybody on your side to help you out.
Is there, like, a New Game Plus aspect to this?
I haven't quite gotten that far.
I know, but I'm just wondering because, like, I would be interested to see if you could sort of keep your stats and stack them on in sort of a next playthrough for, like, better outcomes kind of thing, which, once again, would encourage you to play again.
And you're not guaranteed those good outcomes regardless because, again, this also involves dice rolls. You have two six-sided die that you roll as to get your outcomes. It will give you a success rating whether you have a high chance of success or a low chance, but nothing is 100% and nothing is 0%.
Do you have to roll?
If you want to get further in the game, yes.
Okay.
So there are certain places that I got locked out of because I rolled poorly. I ended up yesterday talking to the cadaver of the person whose murder I'm trying to solve, because
mm-hmm.
that's how this whole game starts, and I locked myself out because he smelled bad. I had to go and get ammonia to go and approach him again and roll again. So there are ways to get re-rolls.
So it doesn't permanently lock you out.
No. There are points where it can and it will change the story, but you do have options to go and attempt to do
well
better.
It would be mean if it locked you out like that sort of thing.
So that is how this game goes. It's you have a partner, his name is Kim.
Mm-hmm.
Katsuragi, and he is pretty much there to keep you going, make sure you know what your goals are. And I love him already. I can tell that he's a fan favorite.
Yeah.
Because he has a dry sense of humor, and he seems very flat, but you can just tell, like, with some of the responses, like, seriously, you forgot your name? Yes, I have amnesia. It's a medical thing. Well, how about we just work anyway and see how that pans out later? We don't really have time to take you to the hospital.
Wow. Okay.
And you have different inner personality aspects that will also help you along and try to goad you to make different choices.
Okay.
They're not necessarily good choices. You don't have to listen to them. But they will try to assist you.
Okay.
So they're like, I don't want to say like they're inner demons. Like one's called Encyclopedia, another one's called Logic.
These are like aspects of yourself almost that are directing you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're just different. But yeah. So those are those the things that talk?
Those are the
Because you don't really have a voice, do you? Like everybody else's voice.
And that's with the newer version. Actually, this is the newer version of the game that they came out with a fully voiced cast.
Cool.
So before, it was just a lot of reading. But now they actually got everybody to have a different voice.
Cool.
Except
that's cool.
Your main character.
Well, but yeah, but your main character, I guess, is voiced by those inner things.
Yes.
Those abstract thoughts or whatever.
Yeah. So, another aspect of this world, before I let you talk and talk about the games that you've been playing, another thing with this, and it's in the title, is disco was a thing 20 years ago, and you're still kind of trying to grasp that disco lifestyle.
Yeah, you have, yeah. The outfits are really good. Like, it's cutely styled, like, cute. Like, he has sort of, like, bell-bottom jeans, right, and sort of, like, that.
And a terrible tie.
Yeah.
And disco's still a thing. It's, disco didn't die in this world like it did in
that's
the 60s and 70s here.
Is this place called Elysium?
No, that's just
a cool title.
Cool title. But disco is still very much a thing that was appreciated, and people still sort of try to style themselves after.
Okay.
It's... yeah, a cool little background thing. I'm sure I'm going to get more disco stuff as I go along, and hopefully
so
some better clothes.
Would you say it's sort of like it's like a 70s aesthetic?
It's pretty dang close, I would say. But again, this world is so...
it's different.
It's war-torn, I will say that. Like,
there's
a lot of... you're in that European-ish setting with... some Americanization,
mm-hmm.
and this place is just beaten to heck. Unions are in charge of everything. Nobody respects the cops, and it's just, I guess it's kind of 70s-esque.
Okay.
I
wasn't alive then, so I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
But,
there's, like, no modern tech. I have found no computers.
Oh, neat.
I've found no, there's, everything's radio, there's...
oh, yeah, yeah, you talk with your little, I don't know, cop friend? Operator.
He lets me use his car because I don't have my badge, I don't have my gun, and I don't have access to a radio.
I can't believe they're just letting you do stuff and you have nothing. They're like, yeah, you're a cop. And you're like, okay.
Now, apparently I was a very cool cop at one point.
Wow.
And
sounds fake.
I was apparently very good at what I did, and then something happened to make me wake up with no memory of who I am.
Oh.
Yeah. So Disco Elysium it's a cool game. I'm going to keep trying to get a little further in it. It is a bit of a challenging game. Get good. This is, look, I'm at the mercy of my rolls.
Hack the system, Megan.
There's no system to hack. This is the imaginary 70s.
Hack it.
Okay. So what have you been playing for?
I beat a million games. Where have you beat? Nothing. No, I'm so sorry. That was harsh but fair.
No, I'm playing non-platformers and FromSoft games.
No,
you haven't beaten Elden Ring yet, like you promised.
I thought about it, but then I don't want to. I don't want the game to end. It's like it's like Fallout 4, except I'm actually having fun at Elden Ring. It's one of those things. I'm like, no, I can't, because then it'll be over, and then the experience will be done. I know there's New Game Plus, but I'm... Anyway. I played There Is No Game, Wrong Dimension. Jeez. Which is... I'm going to say I liked it quite a bit for the most part. It's a... I'm going to say for the large... yeah, it's a point and click. I'm going to say for the most part, it's a point and click. And basically it's very cute. So it sets it up, like it tells you right off the bat when it loads it. It's like, there is no game. You press this button, which is the quit button. Right. And
right.
It's like, don't click here, which is like the start game button. So you do that. And so one thing that I think was my biggest qualm is, so you are presented with I think it's not called game. The game? Anyway, yeah, it's called The Game. So The Game is a character sort of thing, like that's it's a character who talks to you and basically is it the game does not want you to play his game. Like, he doesn't want you to do it. He's trying to stop you, and you sort of have to, you know, manipulate the environment. So once again, it's mostly point and click. So you have like a cursor hand bar that you can touch stuff with or poke or tap. And eventually you sort of gain a little collection of maybe some items, depending on where you are, that will help you with what it is. So you basically sort of break the computer kind of that the game is on and release this thing. Mr. Glitch is what they call him. Oh, yeah, my qualm. I don't like the voice of the game.
No.
Who is a majority of the what we hear. Like, he narrates, he tells you, he's like, what are you doing? I want to say that they do actually sort of, I guess, I want to say, make note of this or make fun of it, because they do reference that he is, like, a vaguely Russian accent. I don't know what the, like, and I don't want to say I hated it, but there's parts where it felt a little weird. Like, a little off, I'll say. That would be my only thing that I was sort of like, all right.
Just a poor voice acting choice, or?
I guess so. Like, and once again, I didn't hate it. It's just, like, that is the voice you hear the most. But otherwise, I did like it quite a bit. So what it is that you, as you're the user, so the player of the game, you're sort of going through, kind of different little games. Like, I guess it somewhat reminds me of The Hex in a way.
Okay.
Where you go through different video games, basically. So the first one that you get to do is a point and click, which is in the style of Day of the Tentacle. Nice. Which is great. LucasArts. Yeah, I love it. Very cute. Sherlock Holmes. And basically you are allowed to manipulate, like, the characters in the game. So, like, the Sherlock Holmes and Watson, they're doing stuff. You don't get to really interact with them. They do sort of hear the game, like, as an omnipresent, like, god or something. Like
a narrator? Ghost.
Yeah. Well, no, not as a narrator. They have no idea. Like, they believe that their game is real, right?
Right.
Like, that's what sort of the thing is.
Right.
Their world that they're in is real. And basically, you're just sort of trying to fix their world, kind of, while also trying to get out of the game kind of thing. And you do this sort of, like, by trying to find this glitch. This Mr. Glitch, who is just a glitch that wants to, I don't know, mess up stuff.
As glitches do.
Yeah. Like, that, like, there, the story wasn't bad. The one thing that I think stood out to me is just sort of there's a lot of kind of cutesy creativity to it, especially in how they do their sort of levels. So once again, the first one's sort of a point and click. The next one is a Legend of Zelda style one.
Nice.
Which very classic, whatever. But then so it turns into the same Legend of Zelda thing, but it is a free to play. Game.
Oh no.
So they make it like a mobile clicker.
Yeah.
Which I think that was my favorite part of the game, just because it's very funny. It's very, like, spot on. Like, it expects you to buy things, right? Like, and one kind of really cute thing is, like, not only can you interact with stuff sort of, like, in the game, but you sort of interact with stuff. There's a potential for, like, around the area. So you're sort of, like, at a little computer, and at a certain point you can sort of, like, scroll around the sides and fiddle with stuff. So you can interact with, like, objects from the outside world within this little game world, which I really liked. Yeah, the free-to-play one, very cute. It's very funny. And then the next one, like, I won't, like, there's more. The other one that I did really like, and I will just mention it, is they have a credits, like a scrolling credits thing.
Yeah.
And what it allows you to do eventually is sort of, like, manipulate it so it's different. So, different names. One is, like, there's Buster Keaton. Not Buster Keaton? Yeah. The comedian from, like, the 1920s.
The one that did all the dangerous stunts?
Yes. Yes. So, and I don't want to say it's actually, like, they might have not used his last name, but they use films from it for a little bit. So, you have to sort of utilize these films with puzzles, right? Like, there's one where he's shooting a gun, and there's a little red dot, and you have to be like, okay, well, what do I use to do that. And then there's sort of, you have to mix these credits together. You get different names. So not only do you get Buster Keaton, there's sort of like a Tim Burton-esque one.
Oh, nice.
And then there's like My Cat, which is great. Like, and it's, you know, it's just like, thank you to my cat. And it's just like a bunch of scratches and stuff. It's neat. Like, I liked the puzzle solving aspect of it quite a bit. Like, yeah, it was really cute. I liked it. It has a really nice hint system that sort of, it doesn't penalize you for taking hints or anything.
Which is nice because that's what makes games hard for me too. I don't like using hint systems.
If you're penalized for them, yeah. This one, it just sort of has like a little timer. Like you get a hint and then you have to wait like maybe 5 seconds for the next one or something, which isn't the worst.
No.
And then like usually the last hint will help you actually, like it will tell you what to do, which is nice if you really don't know what to do. It was cute. The other one I played was Buddy Simulator 1984.
See, I was watching you play this one, and it was...
Yeah, it's neat. It is similar-ish in the way that there's, like, multiple games. Or game styles, we'll say. But basically, it starts off... I guess it assumes that you are, like, this is a 1984 computer or something.
That would explain the graphics and the limited palette that you're given.
True. So basically it sort of sets it up as, like, you're running a ROM, like an old school computer where you had, like, a black screen or a green screen and you had the command prompts. And you have to run a ROM called Buddy Simulator. I don't remember if it has... Anyway, Buddy Simulator, and you're sort of greeted with this buddy that you have to name. This is just, like, text. It's all text. And then you answer a couple questions, like your birthday. Also, I will let you know it reads your Steam profile, so it knows your name. Like, I didn't tell it my name.
See, that's so disconcerting if you're not prepared for it.
I was surprised, like pleasantly surprised when I was like, I didn't tell it my name, but it knows my name. And then you sort of go through, basically, it's very interesting because it's basically what it devolves into is like a very manipulative friend situation. So your buddy, my buddy's name was Peepo, from Nanoland, that's the Peepo. And basically, your buddy tries to make you a game that is fun for you both to play and sort of to, and your buddy wants to continuously sort of like keep you here, your attention, be best friends. You're the only friends. Like, for example, at one point you're asked, like, what is one of your friends' names in real life? And I chose my friend Angel. So we had a town called, or there was a mayor named Angel who got murdered. Right? Who got dead.
Yeah, so...
You know, like, there's clear indications that your buddy doesn't like anybody other being your friend other than you.
So, some possessive tendencies.
Yeah, no, it's very interesting. It starts off as, like, a text game where you're, like, you have to, you know, choose left or right. You have to type in left or right or use lantern or use whatever. And obviously, like, weird things happen. There, you know, it does have lots of, like, weird glitches. There were some things that legitimately, like, jump-scared me.
I told you not to go into that room above where that guy had the stretchy hand.
Yeah, but he was going to get me anyways, apparently. there's definitely, I would say, horror elements to this. I think it would be categorized as a horror. Just based on some of the creepy stuff that happens. There's nice little things that it does. Like, it asks you your favorite color. Like, granted, you can't go, like, wacky spectrum kind of situation. Like, I asked for mint first, and it was like, I don't know what that is. Yeah. And so I did pink. And granted, I'll say my favorite shade of pink, but it made sort of things, like, at first it makes the text pink or the text box pink, which is cute, but also kind of hurts your eyeballs. I'm happy I didn't choose, like, red or something. Oof. Like, it would have been a bad idea.
You'd have a virtual boy situation on your hands.
Or green. Well, green might have been okay. But And then eventually you get little, like, a little character model, which sort of looks like a little ghost. And you get to move around. And it sort of evolves to where, like, you know, the game gets more complicated, right? It starts off kind of small.
People start adding people?
Yeah, people started adding other characters that I can interact with and recruit. Fighting mechanics and stuff. Like, it becomes pretty interesting. I enjoyed it. It was weird. I think there's, like, a bunch of stuff that I probably missed to get, like, a true ending or, like... It also had a really cute sort of Portal-like song at the end, which kind of appreciated.
It was actually a pretty catchy little song.
Yeah, like,
I'll see if I can find it for the end of the episode.
Yeah, there were things about it that I thought were very interesting. I don't know if I'd go back to it, like, I don't care to kind of thing. Like, it was that was an interesting experience. Wasn't my favorite game I've ever played, but,
it's like... worth checking out?
Yeah, no, I definitely think so. It's very interesting. I like the aspect. I thought it was maybe more going to be like a sim where you take care of a little pet thing.
That's sort of like, what you assume.
Like Bubba Rukai was kind of like that, but also then it got really, really creepy and weird. So I was kind of thinking it might be like that, but
yeah.
Yeah. No, I quite enjoyed it. I would recommend both of the games that I played.
Yeah. So Disco Elysium, Buddy Simulator, and what was the middle one? This is not a game.
There is no game. Wrong dimension. Yeah, it's on the Switch. I think it's also like on Android and iOS as well. I played it on Steam, but yeah. I could see it on like iPad or whatever. There could be definitely touch aspects because once again, it's pretty point and clicky and it's puzzle solvy. So
yeah. All right, everybody. That's everything we got for you for this week. I'm gonna go back to play some.
Bloodborne and have Bloodborne dreams.
Apparently, yes. That's my next few days, mm-hmm. weeks, months. I don't know how long it's going to take me to beat this game.
Forever.
And yeah, keep changing.
Bye. Oh, I guess that was